I have three distinguished gentlemen in the House. From the Mind Trust, the CEO, David Harris. From the mayor's office, the deputy mayor for educational initiatives and innovation, all that good stuff, Jason Cloth. And he's celebrating the fact that finally the State Department of Education finally released who is the largest school district in the state of Indiana by enrollment. And IPS has retaken that crown by 30 students, over just 30. Dr. Lewis Farabee is going to try to figure out, I need the margin a little bit bigger than just 30 students. And maybe, and part of what they're, the superintendent and the deputy mayor and David Harris are going to talk about is a way to have IPS continue to grow quantitatively and academically. It is something that was announced earlier this week, a new initiative to help talented leaders grow great schools in IPS. And with that, we welcome the superintendent, Dr. Lewis Farabee, the Mind Trust, David Harris, and Deputy Mayor Jason Cloth. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, David Harris, what is this?
Well, the Mind Trust is partnering with IPS and the mayor's office to create an incubator to provide talented people, talented educators, the opportunity to build new, innovative, autonomous schools within the district. A law was passed that Dr. Farabee and
so that 1321 thing.
Yes, mm-hmm. 1321 champion that gives the district, it gives IPS some special tools that no other district in the state and, frankly, no other district in the country has to create some really cutting-edge, innovative schools and really empowers educators to come up with new ideas and execute on those ideas. And what our role is to provide support to people during a year of planning. We call it our Innovation School Fellowship, and we provide a year of support for educators to help them develop, design, and eventually launch great autonomous schools in IPS, and we just couldn't be more excited about it.
The Mind Trust has been providing that incubator support, that fellowship support for other individuals to do schools, most notably Earl Phelan and his operation. What's the difference between what you have been doing and this?
So this is our third incubator, but they're all pretty similar. The design is it's a competitive process, so people apply, mm-hmm. and applications for this incubator are due on June 1st. Statement of interest are due on May 15th. We'll go through a competitive process. Dr. Farabee, members of the school board, Jason, and others will be part of that selection process. But we give talented people the time to really develop their initiatives. One of the things that's hard to do if you're an educator and you have an idea of doing something outside the box, where do you get the support to go take the time to do that? And what we do is provide that time, and then we provide other resources to help them in the design and developmental phase. And as you know, we've helped to incubate about 10 initiatives in our community that are doing a range of things. This incubator will focus specifically on opening up these schools in IPS under this new law, 1321.
Superintendent Farabee, why are you and the board excited about this opportunity?
Well, we're excited because not only is this an approach to be more innovative, but this is a proactive approach. So we are addressing our schools where we've seen persistent low achievement, and we're doing it in such a way that we're devising a plan. We're giving an opportunity for others to give us creative ideas versus the state or other individuals telling us what needs to be done to improve our schools. This is also a way to empower our talented educators in the city to give us an opportunity to reform our schools that have been struggling with student achievement.
Why is the mayor's office involved, Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really involved for a couple of reasons. One, the mayor believes that a strong IPS is critical to the long-term health and well-being of our city. And secondly, because we think that this is going to help increase student achievement in our urban core. Mm-hmm. And so we think it's a unique opportunity to take advantage of what's great about charter schools in the sense that you'll have autonomy, strong plans that the IPS board will ultimately approve, a focus on talented school leaders and teachers.
Right.
But it'll also enable them to utilize resources from the district, so transportation, technology, and facilities. We think it's good for kids, and we think it's really good for taxpayers as well.
What is this – the people who apply for this, is this only IPS? Can somebody in New York State apply for this? Are you trying to keep this local?
Anybody can apply, mm-hmm. Anywhere. And obviously we're going to have a big focus on trying to make sure that educators within IPS know about this opportunity and have support if they want to apply. But it's open to anybody. We want to get the best talent from our community and potentially talent from other parts of the community that are drawn to Indianapolis because of Dr. Farabee's leadership and because of this exciting new law that gives IPS a tool that no other district has. So I suspect that we're going to see talented people not just from Indianapolis but from around the country applying.
What keeps a talented person from coming up with a bright idea and then going to one of these for-profit educational operators that operate school for-profit companies that operate schools in other cities? Coming in here, okay, they got a bright idea, but then they go to the for-profit company for the resources, and the for-profit company manipulates this brilliant idea into their cookie-cutter system.
Well, first of all, the vast majority of charter schools in Indianapolis are nonprofits. I think we have one or two for-profits. And the for-profits tend to have a model that is their model, and they don't deviate from it. So they're not really looking for educators to come to them and say, here's a different way to design a school. We are looking for educators who say, you know, this is a better way to deliver public education. We have been thinking about this for years, and now we finally have this unique opportunity, both through this law and through this fellowship that we're launching in partnership with the district, to have the time and support to actually dig in and build the school. So this is something that we're really excited about, and we're looking forward to seeing the reaction from educators. We've just, as you know, announced this on Tuesday. We already have over 50 people who have signed up for webinars.
50 people already signed up for the webinar. And the other thing is, Superintendent, this is for schools to be used at schools that are not your best.
Correct. But I want to be clear about the for-profit.
And okay.
So IPS does not have an interest in supporting for-profit entities for this particular incubator fellowship. This is really about empowering educators or other interested individuals in supporting them in developing models that will be reform models for our schools that have been struggling with student achievement. So there's two sides to 1321. That's space utilization and then schools that have been persistently either D or F.
So you find eight or nine people to get these fellowships. They spend this for a year. They come up with the greatest idea since sliced bread. Then you come up with the idea. How does the idea get implemented in an IPS school building?
So the Board of Commissioners would ultimately have to approve implementation of the model and would determine the terms for implementation, which would include metrics for performance, also the specifics on financing and services that will be provided by IPS or services that will be shared.
The other thing is the law says that if these schools open up and if that school earns, in terms of their accountability, a C, you get credit for that. IPS gets credit for that C.
So with 1321, these are IPS schools and IPS students. So it's all IPS.
And it's so, all IPS. So it's not like the Jones School in an IPS building.
Right. So that's a separate public law that allows us to lease space and receive credit for performance. But with this particular law, 1321, these are IPS schools, these are IPS students. And so to your point earlier, I believe you're spot on in that this is an opportunity to increase quantity and quality.
These will – are you looking for in this process ideas for specific grades and what keeps it? If everybody comes with an idea that they want to do K through 2 – and nobody wants to try a high school, and nobody really wants to do, oh, my goodness, I can't deal with a middle school. Nobody, is there a concern that that all the proposals could just be in one group of grades?
We're looking for diversity in the proposals across grade levels, across specific forms of curriculum. Also want to make sure that there's diversity in the providers. And so We're looking forward to getting numerous proposals. The numbers are already coming in, as David mentioned, and we anticipate more for this unique opportunity.
239-1310, 239-1310. You may have questions for the superintendent, the Mine Trust, and the mayor's school educational innovation office, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, 37890, keyword Amos. Let me start today with Jerome. Hi there. Jerome.
Panel today.
Yeah.
Superintendent, I'm very impressed with what you've done so far. I'm a 1974 graduate, IPS, Manual High School, and I've been doing a lot of mentoring up in the Brightwood-Martindale area since the 80s. And what I'd like to see is, or even ask, once all this stuff gets done, especially with these schools here, once you get people in place and curriculums and all that, what types of individuals or individual groups, nonprofits that aren't big nonprofits, that don't have the big money backings, what kind of things can they do to actually come into the school and help out with some of the students that, you know, are struggling from the, like I do a lot of wraparound. I'll work with the child and I'll wrap around with the family itself, you know, if they need rides to shopping, you know, try to set them up on banking, voting, all those types of things. I mean, what types of things can people like us do that are, you know, smaller in nature and doing a lot of philanthropic type things?
Great question, Superintendent.
Great question. Good to hear from IPS graduate and supporter, and I appreciate all your service to ensure that our families and students are continuing to grow. On one regard, as it relates to the incubation fellowship, I would encourage nonprofits that have great ideas to step up and propose thoughts around how we can transform schools. It may not be the organization itself leading the reform effort, but you may propose that a specific leader come forward with a great idea, and that's something that we're open to entertaining as we are going through the initial application process. Secondly, as we move forward with implementation, we want to be much more strategic about how we engage organizations or individuals that are interested in supporting us. For next year, we are going to ensure that all of our schools, particularly our Title I schools, have a full-time parent and community liaison, and their primary focus is ensure that they engage individuals in a meaningful way in addressing the needs of the school. Each school community has different needs, and your needs are unique. And so we believe it's important to have someone that's matching community individuals or individuals that are interested in providing service in a meaningful way in those schools.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Avenue's name. Let me go to Andera. Hi there.
Yes, hi, Amos. How are you?
Fine.
I just had a question. I used to go to IPS schools and graduated from, and I just want to know, why is it that they can't implement the charter school program at IPS instead of opening up all these schools and things?
Oh, there's the $63 question with the bonus points. Is this superintendent and others the answer to Andrew's question?
So I want to make sure I understand Andrew's question. And Andrew, thank you for calling in. And again, it sounds like we got another graduate. I mean, we have tremendous alumni here in the city that support IPS. But I think your question was, why can't we have charter-like programs within our schools?
Is that charter-like programs and charter-like schools, yeah.
Right. And so with Public Law 1321, that's actually what we're trying to accomplish, is to have the flexibility, the autonomy of charters within the IPS setting, particularly focused on our neighborhood schools. So those students that are assigned to a particular neighborhood school have access to a quality education.
And one of the things I think is important to note about 1321 is it really is the best of both worlds, charters and districts. It has the autonomy and freedoms that charters have, and it has the resources and structural supports that the district has. And I think that combination is going to produce fantastic schools within the district.
Given that these schools will have autonomy, and David's aware of this, like the deputy mayor is aware of this, the superintendent's aware of this, if once these schools open and there's a problem in the school, what's the chain of command?
And so we would have an individual that would be responsible for managing our portfolio or innovation schools.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the provider would be accountable to the Board of Commissioners, myself, as it relates to performance and operation. And we'll be holding them accountable to ensure not only achieve student outcomes, but also to ensure that there's proper community engagement as well.
Deputy Mayor, because there has been these concerns of clear-cut chain of command if a parent or a guardian has an issue with the school, to be able to grieve that, so to speak, all the way up to the ultimate governing board of that school.
I think ultimately it wouldn't be that dissimilar from the way in which our staff at the Office of Education and Innovation within the mayor's office interacts with schools, and the way the Indianapolis Charter Board interacts with schools. In this instance, IPS's board would enter into a contract with that operator,
mm-hmm.
And ultimately that operator would be accountable to IPS and to the IPS school board. So parents and students could put forth their grievances to IPS and to the IPS board the same way they would with the Indianapolis Charter School Board.
In these innovation schools, would they occupy an entire IPS building, or would there be shared facilities and a traditional IPS school in that same building? What's the board's vision and your vision, Superintendent?
It would depend on the model.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the size of the model. And so if it was a small learning environment, it may be a situation where we're sharing space. If it's a model that's designed for a much larger or comprehensive approach, then that may mean that we would have a building set aside for a particular model. So we could have an elementary school that has multiple providers, or it could be one.
Let me go to Joanne at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Farabee.
Mm-hmm.
What does he plan on doing with all the schools that are abandoned? And they seem to be renting them out to churches and what have you. I think that it would be best if he focused on bringing back some of the teachers that were let go and put them back in those buildings and lessen the classrooms. Maybe the students might have a better chance. I'd want to know his viewpoints on that. And as far as all the confusion that's going on within the classroom among the students, what does he plan on doing about the corruption of that in order to, but other students that want to learn, how can they learn when there's confusion and corruption going on? What is his plans in the future for dealing with those students? Because some kids do have values and they want to learn.
All right, Superintendent, take the second question first.
Well, I think all of this is around leadership. And so what we've done is held our school administrators and our core leadership teams to a higher standard of excellence, and that's resulted of some administrators not being with us anymore. And we're currently recruiting the best to ensure that we have strong leadership, and that leadership will ultimately drive what happens with our teachers and what happens in the classroom. It all starts and ends with exceptional leadership.
Joanne asked a second question, and I know there's another civic committee that's co-chaired by businessman Al Hubbard and the City County Council President Maggie Lewis that is looking at facilities in IPS. Has anybody thought, as a part of that committee, preparing a report on all of the IPS school buildings that have had to be closed and abandoned and that are not in use, that are just people look at them, drive by it, and assume you still own them, when in all probability you probably don't, and really have an analysis so the community really understands what's yours, what isn't yours, what's the disposition of that? Because I think implicit in the caller's question are a lot of buildings that really you and the board don't own anymore, but the average person sees a school building.
Yeah, thank you, Joanne, for asking that question. That's something that the commissioners are studying right now, is our facility usage. And the neighborhood school concept is something that we are all committed to preserving, because we believe the neighborhood school is the cornerstone of the community. And so where we own facilities and is currently not being used or underutilized is something that we're working towards ensuring that we maximize that space. which may mean we offer more than just our traditional K-12 options. We may provide wraparound services for students or families. We may have health clinics. We may share space with other educational providers, but we want to maximize all of our space in our buildings. But I also want to alert you and the community that some of the facilities that have been abandoned, it is cost prohibitive to rehabilitate those facilities in a way that they could be used. And so that's why they're not being used. And so we'll have to make some decision as relates to whether we
whether you keep them or dump
keep them.
Them.
Yeah, or do we utilize the land in a different way?
And Deputy Mayor, there are some neighborhoods where there are old IPS school buildings. The school system doesn't own them anymore, but nobody really knows who does, and they are perceived to be blights in the neighborhood.
Yeah, so there is a current law that allows for any abandoned or vacant building that a charter operator would want to utilize for educational purposes to gain access to that building for a dollar. But as Dr. Farabee said, many of the older IPS facilities require so much investment and capital improvements in the infrastructure that it's cost prohibitive for people to use it. One of the things, though, that I think is really exciting about 1321 is in an effort to create a school choice landscape, we've grown the number of charter schools over time, but those charter schools don't receive facilities or transportation funding. So they're paying for their buildings out of their per pupil funding from the state, which means, you know, they're building lower cost buildings at the same time that IPS is underutilizing its space. So this law is going to give us an opportunity to work collectively towards maximizing the space and the facilities that we have, which is very exciting and very good stewardship for our citizens.
And Larry will be our last caller with Jason Clove, Deputy Mayor, David Harris of the Mine Trust, and Dr. Louis Farabee of IPS. Larry?
Well, this is so desperate, Amos, because they've now have Farabee saying that he's unqualified to superintend his district. You know, the district is a funny thing. The district is the only school, the district is the common school, that can operate at cost. You understand what I'm saying, Amos? The district school can operate at cost. So when they come talking about they're running short and they can't do this and they can't do that, they're lying to you. They're bald-faced liars. All they are doing is they're trying to make us, as black people, I don't know what they got against us so hard that they will bring another black man in to pull off their statutory scheme, which is it's de jure segregation. They're doing it right in our face. We're going along with it. I go by charter schools all the time, right? Mm-hmm. They're all black. It's nothing but segregation. And then when they get that situation set up, they're going to have the district school step out and say, all you other charter schools, I don't know what you're going to do. And maybe the governor at that time, you notice how you pay almost 10% sales tax, right?
Right.
They increase sales tax in order to provide for this statutory scheme until they could infiltrate the common school district here in Indianapolis. Wondering on, Amos, but this is a horrifying scheme. And Jason Clove, he looks like the guy off King of Queens, if you gain a little more weight, Jason. But the thing about it is, these men
he wishes he had the King of Queens salary.
He does. He looks like him. And this is the
No doubt. Yeah, and also, Larry, even though 65% of all students in charter schools are African American, there are some non African American charter schools, particularly Padua Academy in Hawville, Send on Southeast School of Excellence on the South Side, and there's one other. Oh, in the Irvington. Schools out in the Irvington neighborhood, and Jason's flattered. He's going to ask for a cameo on King of Queens. I appreciate it. Speaking of that, Deputy Mayor, there was a controversy about one of the mayor's prospective charter schools where some issues were raised by that charter operator in terms of his curriculum, and perhaps his curriculum was not properly science oriented, and his literature list was not diverse. Where does that stand in the review of that charter operator?
Well, sure. So we review each charter school that submits a prospectus or an application. We review their curriculum. But since questions were raised, we have revisited that with responsive ed, and our staff is actually going through that line by line right now just to make sure that we have complete confidence. And so we are in continued conversations with them, and we'll have that confidence before we actually sign off on the charter and open the school.
And David Harris, if people want to apply for this fellowship, it pays well, $100,000.
Yes.
Before benefits.
Yes.
Oh wait, Chris wants to write this down. And how does one apply?
Well, they can go to our website at themindtrust.org, or they can call our office. The person who's leading our recruitment effort is Patrick Harrell. His number is 822-8102. There are a variety of information sessions, webinars that individuals can call us, and we'll talk to them. So we would really encourage anybody who's interested to check out the website, call us, attend one of the webinars or one of the information sessions, and we look forward to reporting on the great applicant pool that we're going to get.
All right, Dr. Lewis Farabee, superintendent of IP. Are you nervous about computer glitches in 2 weeks when it's real I-STEP phase two, Oklahoma, you know, that McGraw-Hill, you know, they're kind of shaky?
Yeah, we're a little frustrated from what we're hearing.
You're seeing some glitches?
We haven't seen glitches, but we're frustrated the fact that we're hearing that there are glitches because we knew that these issues were a challenge last year. And so we're frustrated the fact that the possibility of having issues this year, mm-hmm. but we've done everything on our end to ensure that we're prepared for testing and our students will step up to the plate and deliver.
And Deputy Mayor, are you also concerned because that also affects mayor's charter schools?
Yeah, we share similar concerns, but we're in conversations with all of our schools to make sure that they're prepared.
You realize if McGraw-Hill messes up David Harris, you know, there's going to be an outcry to just completely fire them and ask for all the money back. You do realize that.
And if they mess up, then maybe that'd be the right thing to do.
Maybe that'd be the right thing. David Harris of the Mind Trust, Jason Clove, Deputy Mayor for Educational Innovation, Dr. Lewis Farabee, Superintendent of IPS. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.